the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Carl Thomas and Marion McKeown with us on all things American. Marion, can I start with you? Is this government shutdown now definitely over?
Oh, yes. It's looking like they got the 60 votes. They're going ahead to vote in the House. And it pretty well will be back to business as usual almost immediately. I think there's so much to say about it, but and it is depending on which way you look at it. Like there's fury amongst the Democrats that the eight moderate Democrats, none of whom faced an election in 2026 in the midterms, crossed the line to join with the Republicans. But in fact, it's putting Donald Trump into an extraordinarily difficult position because all of these 22 million Americans are set to have their health care triple and quadruple now at the end of the year as a result. And that will be blamed on Trump because this issue has been so highlighted by the shutdown. So yes, it was always going to be a failure. The Democrats failed to hold it together. Their messaging in ending the shutdown was atrocious. But this is not, it's not a win-win for Trump. It's handing him a big problem that he's going to have to grapple with. And the way he's blustering at the moment isn't going to cut it.
Yeah, but Carl Thomas, this is not a win for Donald Trump in that the Democrats cracked and he peeled 8 votes away and he gets what he wants.
Well, first, man, I want to welcome you back. It just wasn't the same without you. Actually, it was, but I'm trying to be charitable. I think there's not a win for either side. As Marion referred to it, the Democrats are now engaged in infighting. Some on the far left are calling for the removal of the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. Others are calling for a generational change. Too many. And this is true on the Republican side, too, by the way. The oldest Republican in the Senate is 90 years old. Some of these people have been in office 40 and 50 years, which is why I favor term limits, among other things. So I don't think it's going to be a real winner for either side. I think both sides have problems with this. I think one of the things that forced this agreement was the fact that we're getting close to Thanksgiving and Christmas, and these are the highest travel periods in the country. Airlines have been either canceling flights or delaying them significantly, and nobody wanted to take responsibility for that.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Trump on Fox reacting to the probable end of the government shutdown. Just for context, he starts by attacking Chuck Schumer. The other two people he references are the Democratic Congresswomen Jasmine Crockett and Ilhan Omar. Omar was born in Somalia, fled a civil war in the country when she was 8, arrived in the US after spending 4 years in a Kenyan refugee camp in 1995 and became an American citizen in 2000. Let's hear Trump.
He thought he could break the Republicans, and the Republicans broke him. But he did think that. We have good policy, they have bad policy. And there's something, I don't know if it's Trump derangement or they're just crazed. They're like crazed lunatics. But, you know, we have just great policy. We have good people. They have some good people, too. I know a lot of Democrats. They're not all crazy. They're not all. But you have some that are absolutely terrible. I look at this Crockett. This is a very low IQ person. And I look at somebody that comes from Somalia where they don't have anything. They don't have police. They don't have military. They don't have anything. All they have is crime. And she comes in and tells us how to run our country. The Constitution says this. The Constitution. The whole thing is crazy. I feel badly because I've known Chuck Schumer. I knew him when he was a person who loved Israel, and now he's a Palestinian. He's become a Palestinian.
Okay, what do you make of that, Carl?
Well, that's kind of stream of consciousness crazy. Trump is overexposed. I mean, one of the powers of the presidency is you only speak and show up in public when you have something that the public wants to hear. Trump is so full of himself, there's no room for anything else. He repeats himself all the time. He's in the Oval Office for various events. He opens it up to questions, and then he goes on a stream of attacking his predecessor, Joe Biden, and people like Omar and Crockett and all of these other things. I've heard it 5 and 6 and 10 times before. And I think when you do that as president, you reduce the power and authority, not only of yourself, but of the office. I just think this was a stupid interview.
In particular, Marion, what about that attack on Ilhan Omar?
Well, you know, first of all, I just want to say I completely agree with Cal, and it's an extraordinary thing that Joe Biden suffered from the exact opposite. He was never sufficiently public or present and never connected with the American public because he ducked the media mostly for years and years, whereas Trump can't keep away from them. But I think as regards Ilhan Omar, look, I know that. I actually worked briefly in another life in that refugee camp where she was as a child for 4 years. The idea that anybody would spend that amount of time there is heartbreaking. She came to America. She's an American citizen, just as Elon Musk came to America and became an American citizen. He has no right to speak about her like that. It is beneath any human being, never mind the office of the president, to speak about a congresswoman like that. And the same, he picks on Jasmine Crockett repeatedly because she is a black congresswoman from Texas. And he knows that it gets him points with his buddies down there to do so. It's, as I say, to listen to a president of any country speak like this is just depressing, frankly.
Well, let's hear then reaction from a crowd at an NFL match as Trump was reading out an oath for members of the military to recite.
Please raise your right hands. I am saying your name. You solemnly swear that I will support.
Okay, Cal, that's pretty loud booing at the Washington Commanders NFL game.
Yeah, they could have been booing the team as well. They've lost five in a row. There were a few cheers there, but this is, again, a case. He did a flyover, of all things, on Air Force One of the stadium, real close to the top of the stadium, and then he comes into the Fox broadcast booth, not to be confused with Fox News Channel. This is the broadcast network that carries NFL football games, and he inserts himself into the two play-by-play and commentator people, and then he does this oath thing. I mean, it was just kind of nutty and unnecessary.
There's rumors as well he wants the new stadium to be named after him.
Oh, terrible, terrible idea. I think Joe Theismann, the former star quarterback for the team formerly known as the Washington Redskins, has come out against that, and he said if that ever happens, he will never go back to the stadium for any occasion again.
Because there's also rumors as well, Marina, that he wants the Kennedy Center to be renamed the Kennedy Trump Center.
Oh, that's not a rumor. That's fact. That's been well known around Washington. But you know what he needs to do first? He needs to do something about the ticket sales. The ticket sales at the Kennedy Center are going the way of the Trump Taj Mahal Casino in Atlantic City many decades ago. Nobody is going there. The opera company is contemplating very seriously moving out of there completely because all Trump wants is reruns of Cats and God knows what else and his idea of entertainment. And this was a center. I'm sure Cal has been there dozens of times. I've been there dozens of times. The quality of, you know, the arts and the shows and the concerts that they had there, they were just of a superlative standard, whether it was opera, ballet, pop, jazz, whatever, you know. And to see what's going on and that this clown has put himself up as its chairperson. But to get back to the booing there at the stadium, I just wanted to note, in case this, he decided to do a flyover, an Air Force One flyover, on a day that 2,200 flights were grounded all over America and that 10,000 flights were delayed. And he thinks, like, what, where is the cognitive dissonance that's going on in his head? And the other thing that made me laugh, because I saw the clip earlier, was normally at these football games, they have these big fuzzy fingers, you know, the giant fingers that they all wave in the air. Well, they were waving a very different kind of fingers this time. I have never seen so many fingers being given to a single individual. And it's weird because they're Trump's people. The Kennedy Center are not Trump's people. I can tell you that straight off. But the football crowd, they're MAGA. They're Trump people. So to see him being so roundly booed at an NFL game, and then I don't know if you saw his commentary, Cal, but let's just say he won't be getting a job as a sports commentator in 2028. That's for sure.
Okay. Cal, tell us about your newspaper column this week. You're looking for a second American Revolution.
Well, Matt, I think a lot of people, Republicans and Democrats, are frustrated by the way the dysfunction of Congress. And there's a provision in our Constitution in Article 5, which the founders foresaw might be necessary, and I think it is, for a convention of states, it's called. That means that 34 state legislatures out of our 50 states would have to approve a constitutional convention to make certain changes in that document. So far, 19 of the 34 necessary state legislatures have approved it. Eight have one branch of their legislature having approved it. And I think this could be limited. Critics say, no, it wouldn't be limited. They could just eviscerate the Constitution. But I think it can be limited to term limits and a balanced budget, which are the two main things that contribute to these shutdowns and other frustrations where nothing can get done in Washington. So that's what I'm advocating. I'm not sure it'll happen, but I think it's the only solution to shutdowns and some of the other frustrations that so many of us have about the dysfunction in Washington.
Okay, what do you make of that, Marion?
I think it's a fantastic idea, Cal, and I am with you all the way, but you forgot one really important thing: ending the Electoral College. So go for a 3-for-3, and I think you're absolutely...
Sorry, why are you saying that's important, Marion? Just explain your thinking behind that, please.
Because the Electoral College is an absolute absurdity. It's completely... It has no place in America. It's profoundly undemocratic. As I've said before in this show 1,000 times, it is not a democracy if a vote of somebody who lives in Wyoming is worth 4 or 5 times that of somebody who lives in California. It's entirely skewed. The way it's weighted against the blue states and for the small red states is completely undemocratic. It is not one person, one vote. All votes are not equal under the Electoral College. And we've seen several times with Trump and with George W. Bush most recently, where the person who won the popular vote by millions actually lost it in Hillary Clinton's case by 3 million, still went on and lost the election. So I think, Cal, add the Electoral College to your list there and I'll be with you all the way.
What would you think of that, Cal?
No, the founders, as they were so brilliant, they understood that a raw democracy would not be good. And, you know, Marion talks about the fair votes and all that. This would give Democrats unending power because their major population centers are in New York and California and Illinois. And the Republicans would never have a chance to get elected to anything again. It's like California now redistricting, so there will not be a single Republican elected to the House of Representatives in the future. So I think we can go on with what we went on with. And by the way, Trump won the popular vote last time, Marion. So if you did away with the Electoral College, he'd still be president.
Yeah, but then that contradicts your argument about doing away with the Electoral College. I mean, you mentioned gerrymandering. It started in Texas. California has responded. Yeah. But if the Republicans had a good enough candidate and good enough thing, they could win New York, they could win California, they could win Illinois. And as you say yourself, won the popular vote. So why not just make it a popular vote across all of America rather than breaking it up state by state?
Because human nature says you're going to vote for people who give you free stuff. And this is one of the undeniable facts about this health insurance business. You know, during COVID, we had the subsidies of health insurance because of COVID. But when COVID ends, like government programs never end. It's like Reagan used to say, the only proof of eternal life in Washington is a government program. So I think, you know, New York and California haven't voted for a Republican president since Ronald Reagan. I think I have to look that up again, but I think that's correct. So you're still going to have an imbalanced system that guarantees one party eternal victory.
I'm not sure it does. And anyway, you talk about giving people stuff. Trump was trying to give Americans $2,000 each from the tariff revenue. Is he going to be able to do that, Marion? And is this a reaction to mounting concerns that inflation is making the cost of living for poorer people impossible to bear, particularly when they go to buy their food?
You know, this idea is so insane that I think even Scott Bessent nearly had a stroke when it was put to him. I mean, it's just not going to happen. He's saying millions and millions of people, everybody who isn't rich is going to get $2,000 from me. Look at these tariffs. They've taken in about $195 billion so far, okay? But if the Supreme Court knocks these down, and I cannot see how they can't, then they're going to have to refund all that money. They're going to have to give it back. And there will be thousands of court cases. And, you know, it's very interesting because one person who was set to cash in on this happening was Howard Lutnick's son. Cantor Fitzgerald were about to offer a concierge service to all the companies, the importers that had paid tariffs, to say, we'll get them back for you. Give us 20% of the total and we'll do all the groundwork for you. And then they had to stop that. But there are companies getting ready now, chomping at the bit, financial companies, a bit like debt collectors with credit cards, who are saying to these people, you know, as soon as the Supreme Court verdict comes in, you tell us what you're owed and we'll get it back for us. For you, and you give us a contingency fee. So Trump is never going to have that money. He's not going to give it to them anyway. He's panicking at the moment because his numbers are absolutely, they're where they were after January 6th. That's where his numbers are at the moment. He's panicking and he should be panicking.
I don't know why he needs to panic. He's still going to be in power for another 3 years. Anyway, thank you very much, Marion McCone and Cal Thomas.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.